Well, maybe you're hard at work this morning already, and maybe you're the only one in your shop. Maybe everybody's been calling in sick. Everybody sounds horrible when they're calling on the phone, and you know they're faking voice. You know they're not faking. They're really sick. But what is going on? We turn to the experts. Dr. Andrew Thompson is an infectious disease specialist at St. Luke's, and he joins us this morning as our guest from the safety of a telephone several miles away. Dr. Thompson, hi, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
So everybody is sick. Do they have the flu? Really?
Well, they might. This time of year, we see a lot of viruses circulating. Kids often will have a virus called RSV, which causes a lot of coughing and sometimes more respiratory problems. But there's a lot of influenza circulating in our community right now, and there are also colds. So there are a number of things going around, and from my perspective, of course, the most serious is influenza.
Why is the flu so serious, and can we actually tell the difference between the flu and just a nasty cold?
Yeah. For a lot of people, healthy people, the flu is usually just a bad illness. It kind of knocks you down for a few days. You have fevers and muscle aches and have a hard time getting out of bed. But for those more vulnerable among us, children, the elderly, pregnant women, and even some healthy people, it can be very severe, resulting in hospitalization, and it can be fatal. You know, we have tens of thousands of deaths every year in this country from influenza. Can we tell the difference? Yes, we have tests for it. Not everyone requires a test, though. This time of year, if someone has muscle aches, headaches, and fevers, it is most likely flu, and we will call it that sometimes without even testing for it.
So the difference between perhaps the flu and a cold is it seems like colds are mainly, you know, in your head and you're stuffed up and
right.
That sort of thing.
A cold usually doesn't have a fever and whole body aches associated with it. It's usually, like you said, you know, some sore throat and congestion and sneezing and things like that. So I think it's important to look at, are you having, you know, whole body symptoms such as fever and profound fatigue and muscle aches? That is consistent with flu.
Now, the only thing it seems more popular than the flu this year are people complaining that they had their flu shot and they got the flu anyway. What's the
right.
lowdown on the flu shot?
That is so frustrating for me because I really wish our vaccine worked as well as some of our other vaccines. And we know from past experience that our current way of making the flu vaccine is not particularly effective. Most years, it's somewhere between 40 and 60% effective, meaning that if you get the shot, you won't present to your doctor with symptoms. That's not very good, and I have a hard time defending the flu shot and promoting it when it's not that effective. However, it's the best thing we have. We have nothing else that's as effective at preventing it. So it's certainly possible. I know many people who've got shot and then came down with flu. And, you know, this is flu diagnosed by a lab test, so we know they actually have it. The benefit of getting a flu shot is we think the disease is less severe in those who still come down with it after getting their vaccine. So you might get the flu, but you won't end up in the hospital or on a ventilator or something like that. So there's still benefit to getting the flu shot, but unfortunately, it's not perfect.
Well, it would. I would imagine that when you talk about kids and pregnant women and people and the elderly, people whose systems are compromised in some way, possibly ending up in the hospital, getting a flu shot and getting the flu anyway, but having it be not as severe is a really good risk to take regardless, because either you won't get the flu or you'll get it, but it won't be as bad.
Exactly. And that's the message that I want to give to everybody is, yeah, it's not perfect. The alternative is worse. So I highly recommend it to everybody. And in this country, we do recommend that everyone over the age of 6 months of age get it, because we want to prevent the spread. That's the other potential benefit is when you're vaccinated, you may shed the virus less and therefore spread it to other people less than you otherwise would, even if you get sick.
That takes me to a question that a lot of offices and a lot of workplaces wrestle with, and there is nowhere where there are more prima donnas wrestling with it than radio stations, for example, because our voices are our art. You know, this is our tool. And so we go round and round and round about whether or not, if you're sick, you should come in, work your shift, make somebody else cover your shift, or stay home and not give it to everybody else. Is it possible that all of us artists here at KUMD have the flu and we're contagious, we just don't know it yet?
That is also a problem with flu. So typically, people for about a half day or a day before they have symptoms are shedding some flu virus. So it's possible, even if you don't feel ill, that you could infect others. There's only so much we can do, though. I mean, we live in the real world. And so I think the important thing is, if you feel ill this time of year, if you're having a fever, you really should stay at home. What I tell all my coworkers in healthcare is, you're not as important as you think you are. Because if you come to work ill and potentially spread this to your colleagues and to patients and to everyone else around you, you're doing more harm than good if you're spreading influenza. Sometimes it's difficult, but it really is important to limit the spread. And if you care about those around you, you should. It's important to stay home.
Well,
until your fever is gone, is what I usually recommend.
We've got this idea that somehow we're getting cosmic brownie points if we go to work sick. And we power through and we don't take sick days. And in actuality, it seems like that's maybe not something we ought to be that proud of.
Right. It's part of our culture. We don't want to burden anyone else. We want to show that we're a hard worker. People are burdening other people if you get them sick. And some of them might even know it.
they might come after you.
And this is a widespread and cultural thing. You know, we don't allow for a lot of sick time in our culture, and it's really a difficult challenge in the workplace, I think, to get people to not use their paid time off days or other benefits when they're ill. So I think it's a widespread issue that we need to deal with as a culture.
Maybe when everybody feels better and shows up at the office again.
That's right. We can all talk to HR.
Then we can talk to them at that point. But right now, they're not. They're taking a couple of days off. So
yes.
Best practices. If you're feeling fine so far and you want to try to stay as healthy as possible, or maybe you're recovering from a cold, the flu, some kind of crud, I'm guessing a lot of hand washing is still best practices.
Right. Hand washing is always good. And covering one's cough is always a good idea. Most flu is probably spread by droplets. So that is close contact. When someone coughs, those droplets hang in the air for a few feet around them. And someone else can inhale that become ill. So covering your cough, washing your hands, very important. And really, as I just said, avoiding contact with others when you're ill. Beyond that, there's not a lot you can do. I mean, you can eat healthy and you can exercise and do all the things we usually would do, but that won't save you from getting an infection.
No, but I am discovering that living on chocolate and coffee means that you stay woefully healthy. So apparently it's possible to create a very hostile environment for the flu germ within your body.
Well, if that works, that's great, and at least you're happy.
It is, and it does. Dr. Thompson, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you. Thanks again.
Yeah, thank you.
Dr. Andrew Thompson, our guest this morning, an infectious disease specialist with St. Luke's.